hello, everyone. Welcome. We are live. Amanda Gray's here with you. Yes, it's September 5th, 2024. Hello to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us this evening. Let's see who's on as people are jumping on. Saskatchewan, Canada. Hello to our neighbors in Canada. Oregon, New York City. Hello to those of you in New York City, one of the boroughs. Manhattan is one of the boroughs. Welcome, welcome. Oh, shalom to our friends in Israel right now who are watching. And it's actually about midnight there. And so it's Shabbat shalom because tomorrow, it's Friday is Shabbat. So Shabbat shalom to our Jewish brothers and sisters in Israel. I see New Jersey, our neighbors in New Jersey, Texas, Idaho, Florida. Oh, my goodness. North Carolina, Arizona. We're coming to North Carolina, I believe, for Reawaken America. So we'll be seeing you all down there in October. Louisiana and Brewster, New York. Wow. That's not far from us. That's about half an hour from us. So hello to our very close neighbors who are on in Brewster, New York. We're so happy to have you. And hello to everybody else, our moderators who do such a wonderful job, as well does our Ark of Grace team who are with us. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. Okay, we're going to open up in prayer. And we're going to jump right into tonight because there's a lot to go through. We're going to do announcements at the end. So we did this way last time. People liked it very much. Let me pray first, and then I'm going to talk about something really quick, and we're going to get right into the notes. Bear with me a little bit with my voice. Okay. I took a Ricola, though. So that I wish we had the Ricola. How the guy says it, you know, we should have sound bites on hand. So when I say things, it just like, you know, they could just hit play and it says it. Okay. So let's open up in prayer as people are jumping on and we'll get into tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, Father, we come before you. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name, Father. Lord, we just ask you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Lord, we just, Father, just honor, Lord, the immense sacrifice, Father, that your son Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, made when he came to the earth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb and the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. He rose again miraculously in 3 days. He ascended back into heaven. He took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father. And we honor that before you this day. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Lord, to fill this place, Father. Lord, that the weight of your power and your presence and your glory, Lord, would move and mightily go forth, that people would tangibly feel you moving, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would go forth and be the counselor, we ask in Jesus' name. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Father, go before me tonight. Let your word go ahead, Father, in Jesus' name, and lead and guide in your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask in Jesus' name you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to encamp around and about, Father God, while we're going forth, Lord, this property, this office, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you would take all the glory for yourself, Father, because you are the potter. We were certainly just the clay. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life in us, Father God. You mold us into vessels. You fill us, Lord. You utilize us for your glory, Father. You are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. Let your name be glorified above all. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. Amen. Hello to those jumping on. While we're getting ready here, I wanted to tell you one quick thing. There's a lot of people asking about Duchess. Duchess, we still have Duchess here at the Ark. Duchess is a very happy pig. She just doesn't like other pigs. She likes every other animal but another pig. So we'll get some pics and of Duchess to share with you in upcoming broadcasts. But Duchess is fine. She's very happy. She has a routine. She goes out during the day. She comes in at night. Wally and her are still boyfriend and girlfriend. So she's okay, Duchess. It's just she doesn't like to be around other pigs, which I know sounds funny, but that's just Duchess's personality. She wasn't raised around other pigs. And so she prefers other animals instead, like parrots and cats and dogs. So we just wanted to tell you that because some people were asking about it. Okay, let's jump right in. And we will then do announcements at the end. So there's a few components to this that we're going to talk about tonight. So I had a dream that had Tim Walz in it that I've been sitting on for probably almost 2 weeks now. And so that we're going to talk about that after we address, because it's going to make a lot more sense once I start addressing this, because there's a 100-year cycle that we have to talk about. There's a dream I had with me and Jonathan Kahn in it that ties into this too. So there's two dreams we're going to talk about. And we're going to also talk about this interesting connection, we will say, to not only Germany, but also 100-year cycle and Lenin being a part of that. And basically what we have seen leading up to 2024, probably for the past 16 years or so, when certain candidates are running for office. So if you could share this, we would greatly appreciate it as we go forth. So let's start. We're going to get to the two dreams, but let's start with this because it's going to make a lot more sense. So back when Barack Obama was running for office, so back when he was running, he talked about hope and change, right? So back when he started running, and then his second term running, it was forward. I think he was forward. And when Hillary ran, it was stronger together. And then Kamala now is running on something called, she's saying the word joy a lot. And she's saying, we fight, we win. Okay, because when you actually try to search what Kamala's campaign slogan is, all that comes up is that she's not using a Nazi Germany campaign slogan. It's very strange. So you can't even really get a handle on what hers is. But I'm going to tell you something very interesting. Both Stalin, Joseph Stalin, and Lenin used hope and change in their slogans. Both of them used it. Now, another one used this campaign slogan too. Okay. So Adolf Hitler used the joy and hope campaign slogan too. And one he loved to use was bringing back the joy. Okay, so bringing the joy back, right? So this was part of the platform of the Nazi Party in Germany, right? So I'm going to read this to you to understand this more. So when the Nazis rise to power in 1933, the new regime immediately began trying to transform German society in a process known as Gleichschaltung, basically is what how it's pronounced, which is German for coordination or synchronization. All political parties and trade unions were outlawed except for the Nazi Party and the Nazi German Labor Front. The German Labor Front created Strength Through Joy, a program called Strength Through Joy in November of 1933. So if you go back and you look at all these campaign slogans, and we could go back and examine much more, you have hope and change, right? Forward, stronger together. So strength and joy, strength and hope. And then with Kamala, you have joy and we fight, we win. So they created this Strength Through Joy program in 1933, and it was designed to build support for the Nazi regime and increase worker productivity by improving the quality of life for so-called Aryan Germans, providing organized alternatives to free leisure time. Strength Through Joy programs filled workers' evenings and weekends with classes, concerts, theater performances, art exhibitions, and sporting events. Now, what's interesting about all of those areas is that when you're looking at how they're trying to program people, what is it associated with? Concerts, right? We've seen this at Taylor Swift, Swift concerts and others. Theater performances. Just look at Broadway and the messages that they weave throughout Broadway performances to try to get a woke ideology across. Art exhibitions, sporting events. Look at now the NFL, the MLB, everything with gay pride, you know, Black Lives Matter, all of this. So we think that this is like something new that they've been doing, but they've been doing this for a very, very long time. They even provided cheap vacation packages to German workers in 1934. So Germany had this program, Strength Through Joy, and this is what they promoted. And they promoted that through concerts, sporting events, theater, and art exhibitions. Okay, this is all stuff we're seeing now. This is back in 1933. So that's Germany. Now, we have two other people we mentioned. We have Stalin and we have Lenin. We're going to focus here on Lenin for a moment because it's been 100 years since Lenin's death in the Soviet Union. All right. So 100 years ago about Lenin dies. He actually dies January 1924. Okay. So Vladimir Lenin, they called him a Russian revolutionary politician and political theorist. He served as the first and founding head of government of Soviet Russia from 1917 until his death in 1924. So 7 years, and of the Soviet Union from 1922 to 1924. And basically, they became a one-party socialist state governed by the Communist Party under Lenin. Okay. So it was Marxist. And his developments to the ideology was called Leninism. Okay. So I'm going to show you posters that Lenin put out because it's 2024. This is a 100-year cycle. This is a 100-year cycle for other reasons too, that we're going to get into in a few minutes, but I'm going to put out for you this first picture. This was a campaign that Lenin put out. Peace, bread, land. Now, I want you to think about this because we're in a 100-year cycle. They did a bait and switch. They did a leader swap. Kamala's now in. What is she touting? She's the one that can bring peace, right? She's the one, bread, that's going to control grocery prices. So you're not paying as much for groceries. She's going to give that to you. And land, they're going to give people $25,000 to buy a home, and they're going to secure the border. Peace, bread, land. She is speaking about these three things in a very similar manner that Lenin put this campaign forth in Russia at the time. Now, we'll show you as well how this connects to the Democrats in other ways and the underground Republicans joining them because they are. So basically, the Democratic Party and Kamala Harris are saying that they can bring peace because Donald Trump has caused a tumult in the nation, right? This is what they're saying, right? They've talked about groceries. They'll price control, which causes bread lines, by the way. Every communist nation has tried to do it. It doesn't work. And basically, too, they're going to secure your land for you. They're the ones that are going to secure it, take it back, fix the border crisis and make your land safe. So they are going down the same talking points that Lenin used in Russia. Also, we're going to show you the next picture. These are all things Lenin said. A lie told often enough becomes the truth. Propaganda. If the media says it often enough, it must be true. Operation Mockingbird. If it's said over and over again, it must be true. Now, that was Lenin. I'm going to show you something that Stalin said, because these ideologies that were part of Russia and Germany have found their way into the United States of America. We'll go back to Lenin in a minute, but I'm going to show you what Stalin said. When we hang the capitalists, they will sell us the rope we use. When we hang the capitalists, they will sell us the rope that we use. Education is a weapon whose effects depend on who holds it in his hands and at whom it is aimed. You ever wonder why they took the mountain of education? You ever wonder why there was a hostile takeover of the mountain of education in this nation? Because it is a weapon, and they can indoctrinate your children. These ideologies they are using came from communist, wicked, demonic dictators. This is where it came from. You have Lenin, you have Stalin, and you have Hitler. Education is a weapon whose effect depends on who holds it in his hands and at whom it is aimed. So if you ever wonder why they changed the entire education system, if you ever wonder why they're allowing all of these things into the education system, it's for this reason, because it is a weapon. It is a weapon. And they're using it as a weapon. They're using it as a weapon to destroy the younger generation, to put them in bondage to wokeism, to put them in bondage to agendas and to activist groups that really don't care about them, because the younger generation is a means to their end, and that's all they are. And so this is why there was a hostile takeover of the mountain of education in this nation, because they did it in Russia and they did it in Germany. And I don't know if you know this, but in 1938, and this went to 1939, the Nazi Party came over to this country and studied the Democrat Party platform. So the Nazi Party came over and took a look-see at the Democratic Party platform. Okay. And because the enemy, so what they did was they examined it, and then they decided to refabricate it and reimagine it. And they took the word joy, right? Strength through joy. Now, the word of God says the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Look at that. That's what the word of God says. What does the enemy do? It's taken and then mimicked as close as possible by the enemy to the word, because Satan can't do what God can do, so he manufactures it. Strength through joy is the enemy refabricating the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, and the enemy cannot do what God can do. He cannot create something out of nothing, so he manufactures it out of something else. So he manufactures a fabricated, corruptible joy that has chains waiting for those who choose to agree with such, because it's not joy at all. Joy through strength, hope and change, the joy Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are touting, it's not joy at all, because that kind of joy has chains waiting for those who choose to agree with it. It's not joy. It's a hatred and destruction that has a very thin shell of joy painted over it and made to look like it. And like a used car salesman, they display it as in excellent working condition when under the hood, nothing works right. This is what the enemy does. He displays something as great and wonderful and in excellent working condition, but if you look under the hood, everything is broke, busted, disgusted, and not working right. And this is what the enemy has done with joy. This is why, because the enemy can only work in cycles, you see this word joy reworking itself through the Democratic campaign, especially right now, because it cycles. And because this strength through joy program of Nazi Germany and the fact that the dictators of Russia used hope and change, it's not a coincidence. It's because it's a cycle and the enemy has to work in cycles in order to accomplish what he desires to accomplish. And so this is what we see happening here. And it was December of 2023 when the Lord had said that the joy of the Lord, the justice of Yahweh, had entered into the earth. Now, why would he say that at that point? Because this was coming. Because they were going to try to take this word and use it in a way to steer people down a road of perdition. And he knew it. So he, December of 2023, said, the joy of the Lord, the justice of Yahweh has entered the earth. You know why? Because it has to deal with the counterfeit joy that has actually been put out now, that is a recycling and refabricating of other nations that followed Marxist ideologies. Now, in 1924, two things happened. The Olympics happened in Paris, France, and Lenin dies. So you have a dictator that dies, and you have the Olympics happening in Paris, France in 1924. 100-year cycle, 2024, Olympics happen in Paris, France, right? And something similar will happen, like what we saw happen with Lenin. Something along that line, because this is a 100-year cycle, we should be looking for that. We should be looking for something in that sense to happen. Now, this ties to Jonah, and this ties to Nahum. And we're going to get into that in a moment here, because I want to just mention this before we get into this. Something very interesting also. The Nazis admired the Jim Crow era laws that encouraged segregation. And they debated whether to introduce that segregation into Germany, but they decided that wouldn't go far enough. So they decided to go a step further than that. And this is what is said about it. One of the most striking Nazi views was that Jim Crow was a suitable racist program in the United States because American blacks were already oppressed and poor. This is what they're saying about this. But then in Germany, by contrast, the Jews were rich and powerful. It was necessary to take more severe measures. This is how these people think. So they came and they studied this, the Nazis. The Democratic Party, the Jim Crow laws, what the U.S. did to Native Americans. They studied this. And what they did was they introduced the Nuremberg laws from that. So they studied all of that and they introduced the Nuremberg laws. So I don't think it's by accident that we're seeing, and we have seen on other Democratic Party platforms, very similar slogans, talking points, campaign arguments happening over and over and over again with these candidates. Now, I'm going to explain this in a way that we can kind of condense it, because I need to get into the dream about Jonathan Cahn, which ties to 2024. So 100 years separated the Paris, France Olympics and Lenin dying in 1924 from 2024, where we have the Olympics that happened in Paris, France, and we have seen what has happened this election cycle in the United States of America. I would go as far as to say, because it's a 100-year cycle, that something is going to happen to high-ranking leadership in Russia. Because it's a 100-year cycle, I would go as far as to say that right now. But there's something else that was a 100-year cycle. Jonah and Nahum, the book of Jonah. Jonah comes to Nineveh. Nineveh has a full eclipse, a full solar eclipse, days before Jonah shows up. He comes to Nineveh. He pronounces judgment on Nineveh. It's speaking about seven words or so. 40 days, and they would be judged. The city would be overthrown. Nineveh was the hub of the worship of the false goddess Ishtar, or also known as Ashtoreth. Nineveh humbles themselves, repents, and turns the entire nation. What happens 100 years later is that Nineveh is worse than it was. And now the prophet Nahum prophesies total destruction to come upon Nineveh. That is what the Lord had set and intended to do, and that total destruction was going to come upon Nineveh because they had been given 100 years to turn their act around. They had been given 100 years to stop with the idolatry, and now Nahum comes in 100 years after Jonah and pronounces the judgment upon Nineveh that actually would happen. So God's hand would not be stayed with that time around. So we see what happened this past year. We see the eclipse that happened. We see that it passed over more than eight cities named Nineveh. We see the tie to the book of Jonah, right? And then you've got the tie to the 100-year cycle, because in 1924, you had the Olympics in Paris, France, and Lenin died, and now we're in 2024, 100 years later, and the Olympics in Paris, France had a blasphemous Last Supper mocking Christianity and Almighty God himself, and God will not be mocked. I will tell you that much. God will not be mocked. They did that, and on top of it, Russia is in a horrible war right now. And the leadership of Russia, I believe, is on shaky ground based on this 100-year cycle. And so it all sort of ties together. So I wanted to go over that with you briefly. I am going to read from the book of Nahum in a bit, but I wanted to go over that with you briefly, how this all connects. So this is why it's no mistake in 100 years later, when the Olympics are in Paris, France, mocking Almighty God and his son, Jesus Christ, with a very blasphemous Last Supper, you see a candidate arise in this nation that talks about bringing back the joy and peace, bread, and land, and how they're going to help you with all of that. That is no accident. So, saying that, because this ties into it, let's go into the dream. Let's go into the dream. So this was August 18th, 2024 is when I had this dream. So it was a few weeks ago or so. And this was the dream. Myself and Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, were in an arena filled with people. We were speaking. Jonathan spoke first. Then I spoke. And I mentioned 1924. And I also mentioned a stock market crash, and I said, it's going to be like that. I was speaking to a crowd. This was written in my notes. So I had notes in my hand that were handwritten. The arena we were in must have had about 10,000 people in it, all worshiping and crying out to the Lord. And Jonathan was crying out to the Lord. He spoke, and then he was crying out to the Lord. And as I'm speaking, he's crying out to the Lord with the people in the arena. And I mentioned the year 1924 in the dream and a stock market crash. And I said, it's going to be like that. So interestingly enough, let me explain to you now everything that happened in 1924, because we know about the Olympics and we know about Lenin dying, but I'm going to explain to you everything else that happened in 1924. because this is 100 years this year. So me having this dream back in August with everything that's transpiring, I don't think is an accident. So 1924 was the year that Adolf Hitler was sentenced to prison for his involvement in the failed coup by the Nazi Party. Lenin, the dictator of the Soviet Union, died. J. Edgar Hoover was appointed head of the FBI. It was also the year that the United States introduced immigration laws. Isn't that interesting? It was the year the U.S. introduced immigration laws. And then there was a landslide victory in Britain. In England, Stanley Baldwin became the prime minister. He won by a landslide. I find that interesting, too, given what we see shaping up in elections. So let's see. I'm gonna give you some other things that happened too. In 1924, Turkey has come on the scene in the middle of what's happening with Israel. What they did in 1924 is the Turkish National Assembly abolishes the caliphate that had been claimed by sultans of the Ottoman Empire for more than four centuries. So they abolished the caliphate, okay, in 1924. The trial against Hitler for treason happened. Let's see. Yep, in Beer Hall Putsch in Munich, Germany, that trial began. He was sentenced as well. Let's see what else here. 1924, communists and fascists win the election in Germany. U.S. President Calvin Coolidge signs an immigration law to restrict immigration to the United States. Isn't that interesting? So that happened in 1924. China formally recognizes the USSR, which is interesting because China and Russia have gotten very cozy lately, cozier than normal. So in 1924, China formally recognizes the USSR. Let's see what else. 1924, a Hindu-Muslim, this is really interesting, a Hindu-Muslim rebellion takes place in India. Do you know what's happening in the year 2024 in India right now? The Hindus and Muslims are at war with each other, killing each other. Muslims are trying to kill Hindus right now, actively in India. There is somebody over in India that lives there that has been telling me what's going on. So in 1924, there was a Hindu-Muslim rebellion that takes place in India. In 2024, you've got the Muslims warring with the Hindus and trying to kill the Hindus right now in India. Also in 1924, August 29th, 1924, Germany's Reichstag approves the Dawes Plan, which sought to solve the problems of World War I reparations. Okay, so that happened. Civil war breaks out in China. So this is what I would say, that China is teetering on the brink of an uprising. That's what I would say, given this cycle. Now, this is interesting, too. 1924, an assassination attempt on Mussolini fails. So there was a failed assassination attempt against a dictator, Mussolini. This is interesting. In 1924, the Washington Senators win the World Series. Now, I found that interesting because of the name Washington Senators. France and Russia sign a trade agreement in 1924. So that is another combination to watch. France and Russia, the two of them making nice with each other and doing these types of agreements together. A stage coup in Estonia by communists fails. So there was a coup that was staged in Estonia in 1924. It was staged by communists. That coup failed. In 1924, the Socialist Democrats win the election in Germany. This is why we have to pray. Because in 1924, the Socialist Democrats won the election in Germany. December 20th, 1924, Hitler is freed from jail early. He served only 9 months of a 5-year sentence. Also in 1924, the dictator Mussolini orders the suppression of opposition newspapers. So this all happens in 1924, just to give you some perspective from this dream. Also, in the dream, I talked about 1924 and a stock market crash. I talked about those two things. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about this. So the prosperity of the 1920s also fostered new social norms and financial innovations, okay? There was a lot of investment in the stock market, which ultimately led to an economic collapse and the onset of the Great Depression in 1929. After dropping by more than 32% in 1920, the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped from a value of 63.9 points in August of 1921 to a high of more than 381 points before the market crashed in October of 1929. So basically, they started letting people buy stocks on margin where you don't have to pay for the full price of the stock. And that was one of the reasons the crash happened. So they started allowing people to buy on margins. 1924, though, is interesting. In the year 1924, the recession ended in July. Now, why is this so important? Because we're in 2024, and in July is when they attempted to assassinate President Trump. So in 1924, the recession ends in July. The nation was in a recession. The end of that recession started in July. In 2024, in July, 100 years later, they attempted to assassinate President Trump. I don't think that's a coincidence. It was the year, well, let's put it this way. 1924 was a Shemitah year. It was actually the year 5684. 1924 happened to be a Shemitah year. Now, many very serious events, now I've read to you some of them that happened that year, are known to happen on Shemitah years. Nation-altering events. The world banking crisis of 2008 happened on a Shemitah year. It also happened to be when Barack Obama was running for office. So 1924 was a Shemitah year. The next Shemitah year is set for 2028, our next election year. So our next Shemitah year is set for 2028, which happens to be also our next elections here in the United States of America. So 1924 happened to be a Shemitah year, and it happened to be a year where a recession ended in July, and it happened to be a year where you had assassination attempts of world leaders, you had coups that were staged, you had the passing away of the leader of the USSR. So very interesting stuff. Now, when you go back to what I had spoken about prior in the book of Jonah and Nahum, because they're part of this 100-year cycle also, because of what happened this year with the eclipse, because it passed over more than eight cities named Nineveh, I spoke about the 100 years that separated Jonah prophesying against Nineveh and Nineveh repenting, and Nineveh prophesying the destruction of Nineveh and them actually being destroyed. So in Nahum chapter 2, and then we're going to get into the Mad Hatter dream. So Nahum chapter 2 says this. I'm going to read to you all of chapter 2. It's only 13 verses, and this is what it says. The one who scatters has come up against you, Nineveh. Man the fortress and ramparts. Watch the road. Strengthen your back. Prepare for battle. Summon all your strength. For the Lord will restore the splendor and majesty of Jacob, like the splendor of Israel. And they said ancient and united, which is interesting. Even though destroyers have destroyed them and ruined their vine branches, the shields of his soldiers of Media and Babylon, the soldiers of Media, M-E-D-I-A, The shield of his soldiers of Media and Babylon are colored red. The warriors are dressed in scarlet. The chariots blaze with fire of steel. When he is prepared to march, and the cypress spears are brandished for battle. The chariots race madly in the streets. They rush wildly in the broad plazas. Their appearance is like torches. They rush in various directions like forked lightning. He remembers and summons his nobles. They stumble in their march. They hurry to the city wall, and the mantelet is prepared and firmly set up. The gates of the rivers surrounding Nineveh are opened, and the palace is dissolved. It is decreed, Nineveh is stripped, and she is carried away. And her handmaids are moaning like the sound of doves beating on their breasts. Though Nineveh was like a pool of water through her days, now her inhabitants are fleeing. Stop, stop, but no one turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold, for there is no end to the treasure. Wealth from every precious object. She is emptied. She is desolate and waste. Hearts melting in fear and knees knocking. Anguish is in the whole body, and the faces of all grow pale. Where is the den of the lions, which is Assyria, and the feeding place of the young lions? Where's the lion, lioness, and lion's cub proud? Oh, they're saying, where the lion, lioness, and lion's cub proud with nothing to fear? The lion of Assyria tore enough for his cubs, killed enough prey for his lionesses, and filled his lairs with prey and his dens with torn flesh. 13, behold, I am against you, Nineveh, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will burn your chariots in the smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the land, and the voice of your messengers will no longer be heard. That is Nineveh, chapter 2. And this is after Nineveh had 100 years to repent. 100 years, and they didn't. And destruction came upon Nineveh, and everything the Lord had said, he meant it. So when this eclipse happened in 2024 and passed over more than 8 cities named Nineveh, it was a warning to the United States of America. It was a warning to get in line and to repent and to humble ourselves before Almighty God, because when Nineveh did that, it was spared the first time. When Nineveh refused to do that the second time, it was destroyed. And that is something to keep in mind, because these cycles are important. And there's, first of all, reasons I have these type of dreams. And secondly, what marked 1924, we are watching Mark 2024. So we need to pay attention. And we need to pay attention then to what happened in 1924 to make sure that some of this stuff doesn't repeat itself in 2024. Okay. So I'm getting up the second dream. Because going through all that verse, this is going to make a lot more sense to you. Okay, hold on a second. So this dream happened August 22nd, 2024. And I have never dreamt about Tim Walz in my life. In fact, apparently his entire family, or at least most of them, are voting for President Trump. So I guess Fox News and Newsweek are carrying this. This is Tim Walz's extended family, all lining up for a wonderful family photo, all showing their support of Donald Trump, which I find interesting. So just a little tidbit there. So I've never dreamt about Tim Walz. I don't know if I'll ever dream about him again. But when I have a dream like this, where I don't normally dream about somebody, it's something I have to pay attention to. So in this dream, I'm at a birthday party in the dream, and Tim Walz is there. However, he looks like the Mad Hatter in the dream. So he had these fake huge eyes. He had this black spiky hair sticking out from what appeared to be a very large top hat. And he took the costume on and off. You see, that's important. So I'd watch him take the costume off and put it back on. And take the costume off and put it back on. And so for some reason, and I don't understand this, but I was going to in the dream, I guess I was going to interview him on Ark of Grace, which I don't think would ever happen in real life, but in the dream, I was supposed to, I guess, interview him. Now, when you're interviewing somebody, right, you're pressing them for answers. So that could be what that has to do with. But when you're interviewing someone, you're pressing them for answers. So this is the whole dream. It was very short, and it was very to the point. So I started to do some digging once I had this dream. And if you want to see what, I have a picture here of the Mad Hatter and kind of what he looked like for those of you who don't know what he looks like. All right, here it is. So here's a picture just for you to see that the spiky hair sticking out from under a big hat. That's exactly what I saw. So where the Mad Hatter comes from is Alice in Wonderland. And he hosted a tea party. And in the dream, it was an unbirthday party. The scene where the Mad Hatter is, he's hosting an unbirthday party. In the dream I had, it was a birthday party. So he's hosting this unbirthday party in the part of the account of Alice in Wonderland that he's in. And he was very eccentric and he was very odd. And where the term Mad Hatter comes from, it was widespread in Victorian society, given how popular hats were across all strands of society. However, many hat companies began using mercury while curing pelts in the hat. So in the making of the hat, they would put mercury. They would use mercury while curing the pelts in the hat and not realizing how harmful it was. And when mercury worked its way into the system of the hat makers, many of them suffered a series of physical and mental health conditions, including dementia. This is why I'm reading all this, leading to the rise of the expression "mad as a hatter." So in the dream, I'm seeing him as the Mad Hatter. And so when Carol wrote Alice in Wonderland, it was a critique of Victorian society. And they said it was a problematic time for mental health sufferers who were treated with little dignity or respect. Some critics have argued that Carol explores how we might approach the mad or insane with greater empathy and understanding by painting this unstable character of the Mad Hatter as eccentric, but ultimately harmless. Now, the behavior was contradictory and unpredictable. So the Mad Hatter's behavior contradicted himself. His own behavior contradicted himself, and he was unpredictable. And of all the characters when Carol wrote Alice in Wonderland, the Mad Hatter is one of the most confusing of all the characters. Because all he does is give unsolvable riddles and addresses her in a direct and often uncompromisingly rude manner. So he speaks in riddles, which are basically word salads, right? So he speaks in word salads. He addresses her in a very rude manner. He contradicts his own behavior. He is odd. He is eccentric, and this is all the qualities of who the Mad Hatter was. If you remember, too, he hosted a never-ending tea party that was supposed to be an unbirthday party. So this is something else that happened. And this is what I found fascinating, and I started to realize why maybe he was portrayed as this in the dream. Their tea party was never-ending. It was eternal. And they were forever stuck at 6 o'clock, always on an unbirthday. So the Mad Hatter was always stuck at 6 o'clock and always on an unbirthday, which is the antithesis, right, of a birthday. So an unbirthday is every day it's not your birthday. And it's constantly stuck on 6 o'clock. Now, a couple of other things. A couple of other things to note here. The Mad Hatter is often interpreted as a symbol of rebellion against societal norms. Isn't that interesting? He's often a symbol of rebellion against societal norms. His nonsensical behavior and disregard for rule challenge and disregard for rules challenges the strict social constructs of the time. Let me see what else I wanna cover here. Okay. And they were convincing Alice that an unbirthday was just as important as a birthday. So they were taking something that was special. They were flipping it on its head, and they were convincing you that an unbirthday is just as important as a regular birthday. This is the lunacy that was basically in the film. And they had a couple of interesting people sitting at the table with them. So the Mad Hatter in the account has a March Hare and has a Dormouse. He has a March Hare and a Dormouse at this unbirthday party singing the unbirthday song. And so you've got the hare, you've got a March Hare. Right now, this is interesting. Hares are more aggressive March to September. So hares happen to be more aggressive March to September, right? I just find it interesting that Obama came back out in August, right? Between this March to September window, because that mating season for them is almost over. So hares are more aggressive March to September when it's mating season. And very interestingly enough, you see Clinton and Obama and all of them come back out within this window. And then you've got, so you got the hare there, and then you've got the Dormouse that sat between the March Hare and the Mad Hatter. And they were using him as a cushion while he slept. So the Dormouse was literally being used as a cushion in the account. And he woke up every so often. But what happens? He remains asleep. All those people out there who are asleep right now. So the Dormouse is completely asleep and he only wakes up every now and then he decides he wants to go back to sleep. And he pays no attention to the lunacy and the madness and the confusion and the contradictory behavior that is going on in this account. Also to note, the Tea Party, right? If we look at it in politics, is a grassroots movement. Also the Boston Tea Party, no taxation without representation. The rebellion against societal norms, wokeism. What I found most interesting about this, so when I went to go study this and look at this after I had the stream, they said they were forever stuck at 6 o'clock. Six is the number of man, biblically speaking. They are stuck in man. They are stuck in the flesh. They are continually stuck in the flesh because they have gone mad and they are contradicting their own behavior and they are sowing confusion and they are putting people to sleep. Purposely. Now, it's forever stuck at 6 o'clock. If you remember, it was 6:11 when they attempted to assassinate President Trump in Pennsylvania. It was 6:11. Also, forever stuck at 6 o'clock. It was the sixth hour in the Gospel of Luke that darkness comes over the land. And it's in Luke 23:44-45. And it says it was about the sixth hour and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour because the sun was obscured and the veil of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That was right before deliverance. So darkness comes before deliverance. Before deliverance, there is an advance of darkness. And in Luke 23, it was the sixth hour that darkness came over the land, and they were forever stuck at 6 o'clock, the Mad Hatter and the Dormouse and the March Hare. Now, it's interesting, it was a March Hare because the first indictment against Donald Trump came down in the month of March. In the month of March 2023, there was an attack on the school in Nashville named Covenant, because the covenant of the nation was about to completely go under a full-blown attack. So I think this is the reason I saw him as the Mad Hatter in, and also on top of that, the Hatters of that day went mad because they were working with things that were causing people to get sick. They were toying with mercury. They were toying with toxic things that were causing them to get sick. It was causing the disease of the mind. It was causing their mind to go crazy. They were tampering with things they didn't understand. They were ingesting what they shouldn't. They were toying with what they never should have been touching. And it caused them to go mad. Thus, the Mad Hatter. And at this birthday party in the dream, Tim Walz is dressed as the Mad Hatter, and he's taking the costume on and off at will. So what does that tell you? Well, the Word of God says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And that costume was coming on and off. And so between that dream and the dream with Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and the 100-year cycle, and us also being within this 40-day period before the beginning of the year 5785, and Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, I think this is where God's people and the nation truly have to cry out to him right now. In all honesty, in all sincerity, in all humility, because you have people that are purposely who are mad, who are contradicting their behavior, who are acting in a confusing manner, who are tampering with things that they shouldn't be, and they're making it look like a party. You see, it was a birthday party, but Tim Walz was there, so really that represented the Democratic Party. You see, it was a party. So in the dream, it represented the fact that the Democratic Party has become indeed just like the Mad Hatter, trying to convince you that unbirthdays are real things to be celebrated. Always stuck at 6 o'clock because they're always in the flesh. I mean, they had abortion trucks outside the DNC, for Pete's sake. Why? Because flesh. Because of flesh. Because of the shedding of innocent blood. It's a party that is mad, that has completely gone mad, that contradicts everything they say, that completely acts in rebellion against societal norms, that is forever stuck at 6 o'clock because six is the number of man. Let he who has wisdom calculate, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So seeing it in this context, and then understanding too that in that scene that Carol wrote, you had the March Hare, and hares are known to be aggressive between certain times. And it was in March 2023 that the indictment against Trump came down, and the Dormouse, who's always asleep, and is, what were they doing? They were leaning on him. They were using him as a prop. They were using him as a pillow to prop themselves up. They're using the sleeping public, the Democratic Party is, to prop themselves up at a party where they're convincing everybody that things are real that don't exist. And the Dormouse woke up every now and then, said a couple of things, and went right back to sleep, and they continued using him as a prop. That is what the Democratic Party is doing. That is what they're doing. They're using the public they have put to sleep as a prop. And they're using them as props while they have a party that has everything to do with madness, rebellion, and contradictory behavior. Whatever they say, their actions contradict it. Peace bred land. They have no intention of bringing peace to this nation. They have no intention of giving you bread, because our bread should come from the Lord and the word of God. Give us this day our daily bread. They have no intention of doing that. But that's the enemy refabricating something again and using it for wicked exploits. Peace, bread, and land. And we're going to give you your land back, and we're going to secure the borders, and we're going to protect it. And they say it, and it's madness, because they have no intention of doing it. And that is why he was the Mad Hatter in that dream. Because what they say and what they do are two different things. Peace, bread, land. Oh, we'll give you all that if you'll just vote us in. And then once we vote you in, we're going to destroy your peace. We are going to make sure there are shortages across the nation so you can't get bread. And we're going to rip the land away from you, your freedoms, the Constitution, and destroy the covenant. That is what their real intention is. But they're contradicting it. They are contradicting it. And they are acting just like the Mad Hatter. Just like the Mad Hatter. And on top of it, it's the 100-year cycle. This is a 100-year cycle. So 2024 is crucial, given what happened in 1924. Given also the time between Jonah prophesying against Nineveh and Nahum prophesying and the total destruction of Nineveh coming, 2024, this is why it's the Valley of Decision year for the United States of America. Because Alice bought in to the unbirthday party. She bought right into it, didn't question it, didn't question the madness of it. She bought right into it. And it ultimately hurt her. Oh, we're just going to celebrate you. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what happened at that unbirthday party. We're just going to celebrate you. You and how eccentric and mad and crazy you are. We're just going to celebrate you. Who does that sound like to you? With the rainbow and transgenderism and gay rights and kids running around with freaking tails and freaking furries on their heads thinking they're animals. We're just going to celebrate you in all your oddness, in all your brokenness, because it's your unbirthday. Don't look at all the madness going on around you. And that's what the Mad Hatter tried to do. Don't look at all this madness going on around you. Oh, let's celebrate. Forget all the dysfunction and madness that you see happening. Forget it. Let's just celebrate you. And that leads to a demise of a nation. And that leads to the demise of a person, because there is zero accountability. It is all sugar, no substance. That's what it is. And this is why I had this dream, I believe, the way that the Lord had me see it. Because right now, the Democratic Party and the Republicans who have bought out to it are trying to invite you to an unbirthday party. You need to RSVP no to that invitation and take your land back and proclaim your faith in God openly. You need to RSVP no to that because they're really trying to invite you right now to an unbirthday party that is filled with joy. The Mad Hatter, as crazy as he sounded, what did he exuberate? Joy. He's running around exuberating joy while he sounds ridiculous. And he sounds crazy because he is. But that's what they're trying to invite you to and your children. They are trying to pull a seat up at the table for your children at this unbirthday party of the Democratic Party that is forever stuck at 6 o'clock because it's the number of man and it's the flesh. And the flesh is at enmity with God. And the Democratic Party has put itself at enmity with God in direct opposition to God. And since they want to destroy the flesh and sow that they shall reap. Because you need to wake up to the madness of the unbirthday party of the Democratic Party and the madness of the Mad Hatter that they have put at the helm, helping lead this unbirthday party with an aggressive hare and a sleeping mouse. It's madness. It's fantasy. It's an illusion that they have created to try to keep the public asleep so they can continue being at 6 o'clock and keep their party going. And this is exactly what is happening. And we, as God's children, have been given authority through Christ Jesus to go before his throne and to ask for judgment against these spirits that are giving this party power and that are giving those in the Republican Party power who have decided to hold hands in the dark with them. We can do that. And there is a solution for this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land, says the Lord. That is what the people of God need to be doing because the fear of God is going to hit the nation. The fear of the Lord is going to come and descend on the nation. And this 40-day window we're in right now is crucial. And that's interesting because it was 40 days that Jonah pronounced judgment until Nineveh would be destroyed. And then 100 years later, Nahum pronounces it and it is destroyed. This is a serious window that has to do with one life being judged and one life being delivered. Remember the two goats I talked about, the mystery of the two goats with Yom Kippur? We're going to revisit that closer to Yom Kippur. But I believe that October surprise is coming in September because we're in a very serious window right now. Very serious. Probably the most serious we'll be in until the election. So pray. Pray. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please. This is your call. This is your shepherd calling you back. The word of God says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall and will be saved. Acknowledge Christ died on the cross for your sins. Ask him to come into your life and your heart, be your Lord and Savior, and make you a new creation in him. We are imploring you to do that today. Because the enemy is working in some very delusional cycles right now that are hurting people. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he comes to do. But Jesus Christ came to give life and life more abundant. So please give your heart to him today. And if you do, please email us at hello@arcofgrace-ministries.com. We would love to get you set up with some resources and a Bible and things you might need to start your journey with the Lord. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay. So we're going to do this real quick, these announcements. We're going to do this real quick because we have quite a few things to go over. But Tennessee, I'm going to be in Tennessee next week. And I'm going to be there with Timothy and Rose Dixon, Miss Rose and Brother Timothy, along with Pastor Mark and Debbie Fisher. And J.R. Locke is going to be there as well doing worship. If you want to attend, please call the phone number on the screen or go to the website on the screen, and they will give you all the information. Also, Arkansas. At the end of September, I will be in Arkansas at the Edge Church. I will be preaching the 10:30 a.m. service. So please go to the website down below if you would like to attend. We're looking very forward to coming there as well. Also, mark your calendars for next Thursday. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn will be with us on Ark of Grace. So mark your calendars for next Thursday, because he's coming on with us. We're going to be discussing the dragon prophecies. I always look very forward to when Rabbi Jonathan comes on. And so please mark your calendars for that. We will make an announcement for that as well. October 4th, I'm going to be in Windham, New York. So if you're in the New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, tri-state area, we will be at Hope Restoration Church in Windham, New York. I will be speaking there on Friday, October 4th. And so if you need information, you can RSVP to the phone number on the screen, the 518 number. You can also email hoperestorationcf@gmail.com. Also, I know the debate is next week, so even though we will be traveling, most likely I'm going to be doing a live debate reaction. We will announce, but it is, I believe, next Tuesday, September 10th. So we will be doing a live debate reaction, and we will come on live right after the debate. So mark your calendars for that as well. Yes, looking very forward to Rabbi Jonathan coming on. When the two of us get together, we love it, because prophetically it just flows, and we're very excited to have him coming on Ark of Grace next week. So praise the Lord. Okay, everyone, my voice is about, it hung in there, but my voice, my voice needs rest. And I'm Italian. I mean, I can talk like, you know, till there's no tomorrow, but my voice is a little. So thank you for hanging in there with us, everyone. Also, oh, at the end, I know I put up a couple of things at the end, so we can put up Rafa. This is Rafa. I designed this with Dr. Sherwood. It is for women. Maybe at some point we'll make a men's one. But Rafa means healer in Hebrew. And everything that women go through on a daily basis, given what they put in our food, what is in our environments, Rafa actually helps with everything that is listed on the screen. It is all natural. What is in it is sourced from the earth. And so basically they are one of our partners. And so you could go to arkofgrace.org/ministry partners if you would like to get Rafa today. Praise the Lord. Oh, and Shampup. We can put up Shampup. So Shampup, this is made from raw goat milk. It is pet soap, pet shampoo, and a pet balm as well that you can use on your furry friends. So it is from Terra Mia Organics. It is all natural pet care. So if you would like to get, if you are concerned about the chemicals they're putting in your pet's products, please go try Shampup. You can go and use promo code Ark of Grace for a discount, and they are another one of our partners. So thank you. Okay, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. We also have other Psalms on the screen that are wonderful to speak, to read, to say. Ephesians 1 and 3, 2 from the Believer's Authority. Those chapters contain scriptures in the first few pages of the Believer's Authority that I say every single day. It's written by Pastor Kenneth Hagin. Also, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. The order to that prayer, you're coming in with praise and thanksgiving first before you are asking for anything. And Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. We should adopt that as well in our prayer life. So we like to encourage you with the word at the beginning and at the end. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will be putting shorts out too, so please look for that. Keep the faith, and we will be back on. We got a pack next week for you, so stay tuned. God bless. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.